Good evening to you. Good to be back in the house of the Lord again tonight. Talked to my brother this afternoon, the one down in Arlington, Texas. He said they went to Sunday school this morning in the rain. And while they were in Sunday school, it rained an inch and a half. Now that's just a little shower down in Texas. Out here it's a big rain. And when they got out of church, it was snowing. And they went home in a snowstorm. But it didn't stay on the ground very much because, you know, from the rain that had preceded it, and it wasn't really all that cold. It kind of melted as it landed. But up north of them a ways in Oklahoma, they had a little different story up there. It stayed on the ground. Oh, my. And here we complain. Oh, this terrible Southern California weather out here. Isn't that something? Open your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 26, please. Isaiah chapter 26. Look at the way this chapter starts off. In that day, the Bible has a lot to say about in that day. That's the day of the Lord that it's talking about. That's that wonderful day when Jesus is coming back to this earth and establish his kingdom, when there will be no more sin, no sickness, no sorrow. What a wonderful time that will be. You won't pick up the headline, your paper like today's, and look at the headlines and said, 17 people got their heads cut off, you know. Or some gunman got loose and shot a whole bunch of people. You see, all that's going to be over and done with. Amen. There won't be any more of that. In that day, what's going to happen in that day? In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Oh boy, there's going to be singing when the Lord comes.
Amen.
This is a song. He's going to give us the words to it. This is a song that's going to be sung by the inhabitants of Judea, the Jews, in the day of the Lord. For it's in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. How's it go? I don't know the tune to it. I wish I did. If I knew the tune, I'd sing it to you, but listen at it. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Listen to this. This is my text. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, that's a wonderful song, isn't it? You know, the Jews won't be singing that song until Jesus comes. But we Christians can sing that song now, because we've already been redeemed, and Israel hasn't been redeemed yet. He's going to come back to this earth and reign for 1,000 years. And this entire chapter, I hope this will get you started interested in it, and you'll read through the entire thing, because it involves God's chosen people and that glorious day of the Lord. But I think that we can safely say that this promise that God made, we as Christians can claim right now. We don't have to wait until Jesus comes, because insofar as we're concerned, He has already come. And He's already established the kingdom of God in our hearts. We're children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We can sing this song. I was in communication with Brother Frank Smith the other day. He and his wife Amanda are going over to England. They'll be coming to visit us sometime this year, early in this year, I think. But they're going over to England. He's been over there, and he said those churches over in England are dead, dead, dead. He said they need a revival over there. They need somebody to come over there and preach Jesus to them, because those people are not hearing it. But you know, I get to thinking about our missionaries. Many a missionary has left his home, separated from his loved ones, gone to the foreign mission field to serve the Lord, and he's claimed this promise of God, and God's come through on it. Many a believer in times of sickness and distress, serious physical affliction, has claimed this promise. Now, back in 1994, when I had health problems, and I went to the doctor, and they were going to cut me open like a watermelon from here all the way down my stomach. I was laying in there on that table, and I just said, "Lord, I need a promise. I need a word. I need a verse that will sustain me, because I'd never gone through anything like that before." I didn't even know this reference at that time, but I knew the verse. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee."
Amen.
And I said, "Thank you, Lord." And when I went under, that thought was on my mind. And I don't know what all they did to me, but when it was all over, that thought was still on my mind.
Amen.
And God kept me in perfect peace during that time. My stay in the hospital, I was not too much of a patient. I'd been in hospitals before. I like to visit people that are in the hospital and find out what happened to them and pray with them and talk to them and, you know, encourage them along. So that's what I did. As soon as I could get out of bed, I was on that intravenous thing, you know, and I'd grab a hold of that stand. I'm out here in the hall and off I'd go. Nurses come in there and check on me. They didn't know where I was. And I was somewhere around. I never left the area. But I met a lot of people and talked to a lot of people while I was there. And I got along better than a lot of them. We could share stories, you know. What happened to you? Then I could tell them what happened to me. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." It's a promise that's sorely needed for today, when we look around and see the lack of peace, both domestically and internationally. The absence of peace is evidenced by stress, worry, fretting, doubting, and lack of happiness on every hand. I don't believe that God wants his people to live like that. There's another wonderful verse. This one is in Psalm 2 and verse 12. That says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. If you put your trust in him, you are blessed, God says. And we Christians need to learn more about what it means to trust in the Lord. That word trust is just another way of saying thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The Old Testament word trust here in Isaiah is synonymous with the New Testament words faith and believe. Trust. Trusting in the Lord. That has a fourfold meaning. I want to share this with you. Trust means to take refuge in God. Over in the book of Ruth, second chapter, Boaz said to Ruth as she was gleaning in his fields, he said, the Lord recompense thy work. Recompense means to repay. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. Did you know God has wings? Under his wings we're come to trust. You see, Ruth was a Moabitess. She was not a Jewish lady. But she had adopted. She'd married a Jewish boy. He died, and she'd kind of let her mother-in-law adopt her. And when Naomi came back to Bethlehem, she brought Ruth back with her. And that's what he meant here when he said, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. I can remember growing up in East Texas on the farm. Sometimes the old clouds, the old storm clouds would gather. The wind would begin to blow. The thunder would roll. The lightning would flash. And the rain would begin to fall. We had lots of chickens around the place. And I can remember the old mother hen would get out here. She would call her little chickens to her. And they would, when they heard her clucking, they would just come a-running. And she would fluff out her feathers and spread out her wings, and those little chickens would just come and they would just burrow up inside her feathers, and she would put her wings over them like that and squat down and cover them over, and she would protect them until the storm passed by. They were kept in perfect peace. Now that's trust. That's taking refuge. And that's what God is to us. When the storm clouds gather, God spreads his wings and says, come unto me. Trust also means to lean on him. In Psalm 56, verse 3, the psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When I'm afraid, when fear comes, I will trust in thee. Like a little child in time of trouble or fear will run to his parent and he'll cling to them. That's the way the Christian leans on God. And trust him. When trouble comes, we can run to the Lord. cling to Him, trust Him. Trust also means to roll over on Him what He alone can carry. I like that definition of it. There's a scripture in Psalm 22, it's prophetic scripture, talking about the crucifixion of Christ. It says, He trusted in the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted in him. Now doesn't that remind you of the crucifixion? These are the words that they cast at Christ when He was on the cross. He trusted in the Lord. Let Him deliver him, if He will. And that's what Jesus did. Trust means to give to God the problem that you yourself can't solve. If it's something that you can't do anything about, don't worry about it. Just turn it over to God. Jesus did that. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You see, God has never meant for us to carry our own burden. We have burdens. But we're to take our burden to the Lord. Psalm 55, verse 22 is a good verse here. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. That's trust. You cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. Trust also means to stay upon the Lord. In Job chapter 35, one of Job's friends, Elihu, told him, therefore trust thou in Him. When illness comes, when sickness comes, when disaster strikes, when your friends forsake you, when sorrow comes, just keep on trusting God. He will sustain you through it all. He will uphold you through it all. The greatest compliment that we as individuals can pay to God is to trust in Him and submit our lives to Him. That's the greatest confidence, or compliment that we can pay to God. Let me tell you something about this peace that God gives. Now listen, you may not need it right now. Things may be going well for you, and I hope they are. I hope this year has started off well for you. But I know our adversary, the devil. And I have an idea that before the end of this year is out, there's going to come a time in your life and in my life when we're going to need the peace of God.
Yes, sir.
God's peace is a peace in the midst of unprecedented turmoil. The Bible tells us that before that great and notable day of the Lord comes, there's going to be a time of trouble. Now, it's going to be a short time of trouble. But Christian, listen to me. I'm not saying this to you as Christians, because I believe that we're going to be taken out at the rapture. But this is in a Jewish mold. And for Israel, there's coming a day of wrath and judgment. It may come from their next door neighbor, because Iran is developing a bomb. Now, they're going to, it's kind of like it was with America when we were messing around inventing that atomic bomb. You got to try it out, see if it works. And Iran doesn't have any place to try it out to see if it works, except a little place called Israel. And I have an idea that one of these days they're going to get together over there and they say, all right, we've checked this whole thing out. Let's see if it works. And they're going to turn their cranks and they're going to aim that thing for Jerusalem. And then somebody is going to say, all right, push the button. And they're going to push the button and there's going to be a big whoosh and off that rocket goes carrying an atomic warhead. And it's going to land in Israel. You watch and see if my prediction is not right. They're going to try it out on Israel. There's going to be a day of wrath and judgment come upon Israel. The Bible tells us that. And the purpose and intent of God for that is not to punish them per se, but it's to turn them to God. It's to turn their hearts away from Satan and back to God. And it's also to prepare them for his return, because when he comes back, he's not going to come back to the desert out here or New York City. He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. And his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives. It'll cleave in the midst thereof. For Israel, that day is going to be the day of Jacob's trouble. And God tells us, this is again in Isaiah 24. And see what you think about this. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. The inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but sometimes if you're around an old bar room, you'll see a drunk come staggering out of there and he takes up the whole sidewalk, just weaving from one side to the other and running into the lamppost and everything like that. And God says the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. That's the earth. That sounds bad, don't it? And yet, in the midst of this kind of thing, a person who is saved, a believer who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, can have perfect peace. I read of an art contest that they had one time where they were giving a prize to the person that could draw a picture that symbolized peace. And there was one picture of an elderly lady with gray hair and